Right. Well, thanks for joining me, John. So what can you tell me about Sergeant Benton in Doctor Who? What was his role in the series?
Well, Kevin, you couldn't have asked a better man. The extraordinary thing is about life is that things come out of the blue and you'd never expect them. I was just a walk-on as a Yeti and a Cyberman in the Pat Troughton era. And I keep saying this because it's true. Some of the directors watched that I was a hard worker, first there, last to leave, and never stopped production. When I got the part of Sergeant Benton, it was almost rather like being given £1 million. That moment when you see £1 million or a gold bar, you know, you think, oh, I could not believe my luck. So when Douglas Camfield, one of the most renowned directors in BBC, and I must tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, an author named Michael Seeley phoned me up about a year and a half ago because I was Douglas Camfield's protege. Now, he's the one that directed all the very biggest and the best of Doctor Who, Terror of the Zygons, Invasion, and so on and so on. So when this huge director came up to me and said, your name is John Woods, because John Woods is my real name, I couldn't have it as an actor because there was already a John Wood, a famous Shakespearean actor. So I ended up with the name John Levine because it's the only name they didn't have in their huge book of actors. So when I got the part of Sergeant Benton, I was so overwhelmed because I had no training as an actor, no drama school, no anything. And there I am in the middle of the BBC studios back in the heyday of the BBC, and I still believe we do the best television in the world. We are so far ahead intellectually. I think our creativity is way beyond anything I've ever seen anywhere else. Of course, I'm bound to be biased because I'm English. So in answer to your question, Kevin, getting Doctor Who was rather like falling in love, only, you know, it wasn't sexual, if you like. And then, of course, I had the gorgeous pleasure of John Pertwee taking over as the Doctor, who just liked me as a friend. He became my closest friend. And, of course, Douglas Camfield, whose book I'd love you to buy, because Michael Seeley, the author, worked his bottom off to get that book out. And it's one of the best Doctor Who's I've ever seen. And you've got to get it and read it, because it's just wonderful. So that's the answer to your first question.
All right, so as you said earlier, you were playing one of the Yetis in The Web of Fear.
Yes.
And then you went to being Sergeant Benton. So how did it feel like being a Yeti, being one of the monsters, and then also having the rare role of being one of the enemies, one of the baddies, one of the monsters, and then being one of the good guys?
Well, now, I hadn't looked at... Now, Kevin, that's interesting. You're the first person to see that the monster was bad guy and Benton was a good guy. Now, remember, I was a Cyberman before I was... Was I a Cyberman or a Yeti first? I've honestly forgotten.
I think Cyberman first in Tomb of
Cyberman. Cyberman first in Invasion, and then Web of Fear was the Yeti. What, being inside the Yeti's costume was one of the worst jobs I've ever had because it was so hot and it really was a cruel job to do. And remember, we only earned £10 a day back in those days. In other words, $20 Australian. But suddenly ending up, when the director came up to me and said, I'd like you to read for the part of Sergeant Benton, I could not believe it. So I went to Threshold House, which is where all the directors lived at that time, in a place called Shepherd's Bush in London. And he said, have you ever acted before? And I was honest enough to say no. Usually you lie and say yes. But he gave me a script to read. I went away and learned it. He came back and said, if you can read the words and make it sound legible or audible, you've got the part. And, of course, I ended up with the part, which is just stunning. And to this day, I just look at God and say, thank you, God, for giving me this tiny little boy from Salisbury, Wiltshire, which is near Stonehenge, for what it's worth, for you people that know England. And so, really, the rest is history. I've loved it. I love doing these shows. I mean, I don't make lots of money anymore. We don't get lots of work as an actor. But meeting the people that put us on the screen and made us famous, surely that is where the gold lies in this business. You've got to thank the people that made you famous.
So you worked alongside the Second Doctor and the Third Doctor.
And the Fourth. Oh, no. My First, Second, and Third. But William Hartnell.
William Hartnell was only on the TV. So you didn't quite work alongside him in person. But you've worked alongside the first four Doctors in some capacity.
Yes.
So what were each of them like?
Well, I mean, in brief, it's very difficult to tell the truth these days because, you know, you get smashed down to the ground if you tell the absolute truth. There's not a lot of lies I have to tell you. First of all, Pat Troughton was adorable because he was a bit zany, like a clown, and we love that. And he was the first person that said to me, because I used to worry that I wouldn't be a good actor or I would let the others down. Typical lack of self-esteem in the average English person. That's one of the things we suffer from. So Pat came up to me one day and said, you know, John, you don't need to worry anymore. He said, you're a lovely bloke. You're a great little actor. You're never going to do Shakespeare, but you fit the part beautifully. We all love you because of your sense of humour. And so that set me up beautifully. And then when, as you know, the ratings went all the way down to where the show was nearly cancelled, and then the executive producer, Barry Letts, came up and said, we've got the new doctor. Well, when they introduced John Pertwee, I knew I was going to love this man with my heart, my soul, and my professional career. So I ended up being one of John's best friends, and to this day, I consider his friendship one of the greatest moments of my life. And when he died, a part of me died too, because remember, he helped make me the man I am. And then, of course, Tom Baker took over, and most fans know that I didn't get on too well with Tom Baker. I didn't like his arrogance. And, you know, if you can put up with arrogance, then you're fine, but I couldn't. And it was very difficult with him, although my acting became a little better because you have to hide behind your performance, because working with him was quite tough.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of videos of him getting a bit foul-mouthed at some of the other people. Yeah, I know what that's like. Don't worry. So with John Pertwee, so when you joined Doctor Who, you're probably hoping that one day you'll get to step inside the TARDIS. And then you did during the Third Doctor. And then your line was... And then your line was when you walked in, he said, the Third Doctor said, well, aren't you going to say it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside?
And I said something like, what, nothing to do with you surprises me, Doctor? Oh, was there a line before that?
I think something like, I think that's a bit obvious, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But was that like something that you came up with? What was your actual experience going in?
It was written like that, but the director and the writer did come up to me and say, because I deliver words in a slight... Well, every actor delivers words in a slightly different way. But it was the way I dragged my berry off and looked so amazed and stunned. And it also showed the affinity between Sergeant Benton and the Doctor. And that's why I love John. I keep on about loving John, but every time he came into my space, I grew. And he was one of the best men I'd ever met. That moment, and of course, once you go in the TARDIS, in all fairness, when you're a celebrity in the TARDIS, you've arrived and you've made it. So, Kevin, the truth is, it was just one more magic moment in this stunning thing called Doctor Who.
And so one final question, John. So moving on to the extended universe, you've also worked with Big Finish, doing a couple of roles as John Benton, and I've listened to you in Council of War. You're great, great story. But I just wanted to ask, you've only done the one story, and then you moved on to Una Reassembled. So how come there was such a big gap between those two roles?
I will tell you the truth, because it's all been resolved. I'm a very particular, and I'm a Capricorn. I was born Christmas Eve, 5 minutes to midnight. I have to have everything tidy, clean, and straight. And all it was, I happened to go into the studio at a time when they'd been very busy, and there was a certain thing that hadn't been done, and I made a bit of a complaint about it. It wasn't a bitter complaint, but it was as if to say something like, well, whatever they said, and the truth is, Nick Briggs, who's one of my closest friends, he's now the CEO of Big Finish, he and I have always adored each other, because I helped him 45 years ago learn how to do interviews and so on. So the big gap between Council of War and Unit Assembled was mainly because they were a little upset that I'd said something that upset Nick. But we met last year in Chicago. It was all a mistake, a big misunderstanding, which you know happens. Everybody tells a different story, and it gets twisted and bent till you end up looking like the criminal. So the truth is, I've just done the new one with all the new unit people. It is a sensational story. As always, I'm thrilled with my part, because they've given me a really good part again. And I'd like to just say to all of you fans, do remember, at the end of the day, you're the ones that matter, because you're the ones that put us on the screen. So I would like to say goodbye, God bless you, and may your own particular God go with you.